So you guys just heard about a really cool New York City-based funky startup using WordPress, and we thought we'd take you from Alpha to Omega and show you a really boring 375-year-old institution sort of also using WordPress and getting a lot of value out of it as a CMS. So what we're going to cover today is sort of an overview of like the beast we were trying to tame, which is the Harvard Gazette, the team and project approach. I'm going to cover more of the boring suit business end, sort of making the case for WordPress, which is something I think developers often overlook, because they tend to go to things like WordCamps, and everybody's talking about WordPress, and you know, sort of eat your own dog food, and everybody gets excited, but what is the way in which you explain what WordPress is to management? How do you make the case for it so that, you know, you can bring the benefit to the enterprise? Talk about the team and project approach, walk through the site a little before and after. Lin and Chen, who's my better and far smarter half, is going to talk through, you know, what's under the hood with the plugins, the video calendar, stuff that went wrong, then how we fixed it, and also lessons learned and the results we think we garnered. So the Harvard Gazette is the university's, it's Pravda. It's the university's official newspaper serving, you know, 20,000, you know, faculty, staff, and students every week. Last week it was a weekly paper. This year we shifted it, actually give copies of the paper, to the bi-weekly version, so just more tabloid, more cool looking, you know, more sort of contemporary feel, and also reduced, you know, helped our green numbers and, you know, reduced printing costs. But it's actually, and it's extremely well-written. It is unbelievable. You know, there are 3 full-time and 2 part-time photographers at Harvard. Unbelievable images. You know, capturing really the best in teaching and research and scholarship. You know, among the best in the world. So, you know, it's been around since the 1920s. It had been online since 1996. But, you know, the dominant feel of it was very much, it's a print publication. And every week we're going to really hustle to get a couple of these stories online. So there's web people will leave us alone. That was really the dominant way they thought about it. And the organizational approach, sort of the way the department was set up, it was hard to sort of think about adopting new technology. How many of you are from higher ed? So I know. Oh, so a fair amount of you. So you feel my pain. So team and project approach, it was sort of very much a partnership. And I put this slide and these logos up because I sort of feel like, you know, we would be nothing without the vendors we partner with to get our work done. So I worked, you know, on getting executive sponsorship and funding, gathering requirements. This is an entirely new thing for non-technical folks in university settings, for many of them, not all of them. But, you know, what does it mean to talk about what an application should do? Because the dominant paradigm has been very much a firm comes in, sells a vision, goes away, creates the vision, and maybe it was, maybe it wasn't exactly what you were looking for. But this kind of rigorous approach was new. Project management and, you know, dealing, the Gazette team was phenomenal, doing the content entry and helping us catch up on the archives. New Circle Consulting, that's Lynn's firm, really helped us with evaluating what are the technologies we might use. You know, doing technical project management, particularly around the integration of third-party software and the back-end programming. And we also partnered with Filament Group, who I'd worked with at another firm, to do the information architecture and the design, the front-end programming. They were very helpful. She's an alum. She knew, you know, the Harvard hierarchies, but also the great Harvard stories, and helped us figure out the best way to design a site that would help tell those stories. So this is where we were. 100% manual updating, print-led issue mentality, weekly releases, you know, tough navigation. You can see, you know, top right, I always love this, on the Gazette Online, the first thing we show you is the archives. You know, it's very far Harvard, right? Very backward-looking. But, you know, we've got tons of forward-looking stories about, you know, everything from curing cancer to teaching local kids how to use a telescope. So we want to get rid of that. No easy way to share print content, and no ability to display multimedia from a story page. In addition to photography, we have unbelievable multimedia people, you know, crafting these stories about, you know, really, you know, public service projects, and, you know, we had someone do a story on, you know, the 4 piano tuners at Harvard and follow them around a day tuning the pianos. It's just kind of amazing stuff. You don't get that anywhere. So we just, they would create them and then they go sit on a multimedia page. That pretty much, unless you Googled Harvard multimedia piano tuner, you would not be able to find the article. So this is where we are today. And this really, I use the word today advisedly because to me the most important thing was to anchor the Harvard Gazette in today, not since 1926, but, you know, what are we doing today? So the top tab even says, you know, today, and we have that weather widget, which Lynn and I think many developers are like, wait, look outside, you know what the weather is. You know, but to me it was, how do you talk about, you know, what's it like in Cambridge right now? So it was image rich with the ability to tell stories, content management, you know, which was totally new, to enable, you know, editors to update, searchable, you know, subscribe to email, RSS, dynamic calendar, basic mobile support, and adjustable text size, which when you're catering to a lot of professors, you want to make sure you can go bigger and go smaller. You know, the story page is very different, too. Before, we were limited to one 300-pixel-wide image per story, which, given the number of photographs we take on a weekly basis, was, you know, unbelievable. I think we put 900 photos into a database every 2 weeks. So the idea that we were only able to show one online was sort of breaking my heart. You know, the whole idea of tags, this was entirely a new concept to introduce. You know, different options for pictures, sharing articles, and then having multimedia that was associated on every page. So did you see that big ant story on the last page? Turned out a couple of years ago, this multimedia person had done an interview with E.O. Wilson for the Scholars in Entomology, and, you know, the ability to tie those things together in a way, you know, just with, you know, tags and putting things on a page in a way they hadn't before was big. Multimedia page. So again, we decided to use Brightcove for this, and that was, again, sort of not a very typical higher ed approach, because we've been putting, you know, I found videos that were in QuickTime and RealPlayer and, you know, basically you name it, we had, you know, a couple of videos in it. But the idea of, you know, reducing the manual effort, building two or three different player types so you can pull them in on different pages, you know, providing space for credits and explanatory text, you know, taking advantage of their automatic playlists. If you liked one Harvard commencement, you might like another. So giving people a historical view of, you know, a topic or related videos. And making it sortable by the same topics as the main site structure. So when I came in, multimedia, the question you were asked by the navigation was, would you like to see a slideshow or a video today? Not, would you like to see something about science and health or Harvard arts? So trying to really tie the navigation of the multimedia to the navigation of the plain text articles. So from an editor's perspective, you know, this was solving world hunger in a lot of ways, because the editor was able to, you know, enter the story and choose the images and the multimedia sizes to manage the entire path from sort of start to finish, and to assign weights and really figure out what the hierarchy of the stories is on the page, and then change that in a way that could be scheduled in advance. So that's really big when you're waiting for Nobel Prizes or app stories that are embargoed, or, you know, things that are going to need to go up at 5 in the morning or 2 in the morning. And before, we're literally calling people to cut and paste them at that hour. So it made a big difference. This dashboard, and this is a point I often make to more technical audiences, is giving people an administrative dashboard that they feel comfortable in is huge. I mean, so many technical people are so smart and capable to work in, you know, whether it's a shell or anything, that they don't feel like they need to, something that feels like home. But to me, Lynn and others did a great job making this, you know, sort of, you could see right away what's on the home page. You can see the categories and their name things that are what you would think when you put them in. You get a glance of how many articles there are in pages and categories. So it's a good way, you know, it's a good way for our editors to feel, you know, that when they log in the morning, they know what's going on the site and not have to check back. I'll turn it to Lynn.
Thanks, Mary. And good afternoon. New Circle Consulting was brought on board for backend programming. So our very first task was a technology evaluation. At Harvard, there are already a number of CMS in use. What's listed here is only a partial list. So options that has been given serious considerations include Drupal, WordPress, and Joomla. So instead of trying to figure out which one of these is the best CMS in the world, we focused on finding the right solution for this project. So this project, basically, all we need is a content publishing system. So the content-wise, there needs to there will be multiple content types. We need news stories, which could have no image or could have multiple images. There could be gallery, it's basically image slideshows. It will be video items, and each of those content items will have slightly more than just a blog entry. Not only just title and story and summary, we also need a custom field, like a byline, author affiliation, and a credit. So we need a content management system that can handle custom fields. The content, of course, needs to be structured under categories, subcategories. We need a method of tagging. So those actually come fairly standard in the blogging world. The other side was the whole editorial workflow. So the editors needs to be able to create the content in draft status, go through the whole preview and approve and publish process, and needs, as Peter mentioned, needs the ability to publish for a future date. And a desired feature would be the version history. You can always revert back to the previous saved version. Besides this too, there are also custom like a requirement. People need the ability to assign one story to be related stories or related multimedia items to other stories. We need to give editors a way to feature stories for the home page or for the section page. We need to give them a way to weight different stories so they can adjust the order that as they appear on the home page rotator. Actually, we can probably take a look here. So this is the home page. And we on the home page, we have this rotator can feature five stories. And if we scroll down, we can see we have the Hover News section and the events calendar section. Here is all the major categories. And this is our multimedia page. We have the navigation on the right side, can sort by feature, by date, and by popularity. So this is a typical section landing page. And this is categories and subcategories.
The editors love this because it gave them the ability to feature different things. See, there's a lot of internal pressure. Hey, where'd that story on stem cells go relative to the new arts piece? And this gave them so many different things to feature that you could keep a lot of constituencies happy, which those of you in higher ed know is really important.
So basically, after some research, we settled with WordPress. We filter out Joomla mainly because we figured Joomla is a little bit too heavy duty for this purpose. It's a great system. It has a gazillion number of like components, add-ons. But for this purpose, it's just too much extras. And so the weight between WordPress and Drupal, there are mainly two factors help us like choose WordPress over Drupal. The first one is how the custom field is being handled. With Drupal, that's typically done using CCK. And we've read online, we've talked with people, and our research, there are a lot of concerns about the performance with CCK. And with WordPress, we were able to handle all the custom fields using a very nice plugin called More Fields. And More Fields does not create any additional table. Everything is stored already in the post-meta, so it's done very efficiently. And another factor we really, really like about WordPress is the admin interface. It's very user intuitive. And our Perry already showed us this this interface. So we we created an admin theme plugin. So we were able to put the Hover branding on the top so people feel like that's something like they can associate with. So people love this. And we could hide away all the information, you know, on the dashboard by default. You see a number of things, so those can be hide away easily. Yes?
I'm sorry, how did you say you ended up customizing?
We created a plugin.
Oh, okay, you created a plugin.
Yeah, we did.
Nice.
So on the left side, as you can see, it's only the things like people need to use shows up there. So most of the editorial tasks can be accessed by one or two clicks. So, of course, there are objections, like people thinking, like, isn't WordPress just for blogging? Of course not. WordPress can offer so much more now. And people have concerns about security. So any software has vulnerabilities, especially open source ones, because everybody has access to every single line of the code. So it's just something we have to learn to deal with. And our first line of defense is we create user accounts for every single person. So everybody use their own accounts instead of shared accounts. Like a very basic, we encourage them to choose hard-to-guess password, encourage them to change password on a regular basis. And we keep up to date with the WordPress releases, which has been a pain because there are just so many of them. When we do the coding, we confine all the custom code into either theme or plugin So even though it's still pain to perform, but it's a relatively like a simple task. It's just download the new version and upload and just do some testing. And of course, we come to events like this morning, afternoon, there are some security sessions, so which we will go back and probably review our code and try to fix some things up. So it's just something you have to just deal with. Just as long as you do your homework, I think that's you can still make your site secure.
This was kind of a pain point for Harvard because they had a huge WordPress breach like 3 years ago. Oh. You know, it was like a huge deal and it was public. I don't know if you remember. But, you know, I dug into it and said, but, you know, what happened? Well, the code hadn't been updated. There were, you know, there was like five or six really obvious things that we factored for. But, you know, it created the dominant belief, oh, WordPress, that's insecure. So we need to figure out the way to battle that.
There are also like concerns about like this WordPress, how much traffic it can handle, how much content it can handle. But so far for us, it worked great. And Perry later on will share some performance data with us.
Want to talk about Supercache a bit?
So here are just some tips like we have learned along the way. So first of all, when we are using this. When we're using WordPress, we try to learn about it. We try to use out-of-box features as much as possible. Population workflow and categories tags, those are already pretty perfect match to what we need. If we come to here, look at the main navigation, those are all the categories created in the, as the post categories, and the just category and the subcategory. So what you see here is just a category landing page. What we love a lot about WordPress is this, I tried to find a nice diagram. It's probably a little hard to read, but this is the template hierarchy structure. So basically within the theme, we can create a category.php page, which is the default category page. And we could say, So if we come back to here, if we go to this art and culture page, and you click on any of the interior pages, you can see they actually are all the same. It's just the basic category landing page. So we put all the code into category.php. But campus and community, this page has a different template, different look. So all we did was we create a category dash, I think was 3. That's the ID for this campus and community category. I create that file. I modified some. We modified some code inside. So WordPress knows automatically when it matches this ID, it gives. It will load this file instead of the default category .php. So this enabled us to really we create a template for the homepage. We create a template for this and for the calendar, which is. Which is also a category landing page, but it pulls information from our from trauma. So we just create a different category with ID page. So that's very easy to develop, and when it's easy to develop, it's easy to maintain.
You pull from what did you say? The calendar pulls from.
From trauma. I'll talk about it in a sec. Okay.
Another question.
Is there yes.
I'm going to read the question. She's typing it.
Okay.
I like your website and how well it is done with WordPress. However, I have a question about multimedia. I am one of 37 million. People with hearing issues who have no access to audio. And it is not just deaf people who have to access. It's also foreigners whose English is not native. First language. Those who prefer to skim text, then listen hours of audio, etc. I have been browsing multimedia, and it seems that there are no transcripts or captions. Do you have any comments on this about the captions?
I definitely have some comments. We actually have an office for disability that was in touch.
Your question?
I'm sorry. Her question was, the multimedia, she makes an excellent point, was not developed with people with hearing issues or international in mind. So it's English language and audio only. We have an office for disability at Harvard that's looking into this. It's a problem across all the multimedia. And what are the best standards to adopt? I think there's something in the Obama administration as well that's issuing some standards, and we're going to move toward being compliant with those. But it's an excellent point. And in some areas, we have posted transcripts, but I don't think on this site. So I think she's correct in identifying it as an issue with this site.
In the comic camp, the guy talked about a plugin that he developed to where people could contribute translations and
right.
everything on the fly. So there are plugins that will just do this.
That's good. We're also working with our vendor, Bright Cove, to see what are the ways that we could, you know, work with them. Because I know they have the same issue with the New York Times and with the Boston Globe. And I know there's a consortium of news agencies also looking into the issue.
It is priority to have accessibility guidelines by the WYS.
W3C?
No. By the way, it is priority. It is an accessibility guideline.
Yep.
I think we're saying it's the law.
Mm-hmm.
It is also part of Section 508 law required for higher education institutions to have captions.
Yes. No, she's right. So, yeah, I'm happy to take that offline after this, but it's an excellent point.
So next thing is when we have been very careful on choosing plugins. So we said this Gazette site has lots of custom code which we have confined within theme and plugin. For all the other other features we have managed to achieve using only three external plugins, which is Moorfield, which is mainly for the custom field and the featuring. Home featuring feature. The other one was the popular post, which is for sorting by popularity. And the third one is super cache, which is for performance purpose.
Excuse me? Can you explain the Moorfield plugin or give us an example?
Sure. Let's see. I can probably do more offline with you if you have more questions, but I can show you a...
Maybe just a few sentences?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Moorfield, it uses WordPress post meta table, but it gives you interface to create new content types. The base type is either a page or a post. But for example, we have created a multimedia as a new type based on post. And for this new content type, we could assign new field. We could say multimedia, we wanted to have a title, we wanted to have a credit line, we wanted to have a caption, but not necessarily, we don't have like a main, like a page body. So Moorfield plugin allows us to actually hide those unused field away from the user interface. So once we set it up, when people go in and create a new multimedia item, all they need to do is fill in only the relevant information. And all those information are stored in the post meta table. And we could, in the code, we could use just guess the post meta. And passing in the ID, we could get all the relevant information out. And it's up to the code to determine how to display those information.
How is that separate from making a separate template page? Like, that's what I was thinking, the multimedia page was an additional template page.
It is the same theme, but it is a different template. It's basically the diagram I just showed to you. The multimedia itself exists as a category, and it has a category ID. So I create a page called category dash with that ID, and then within that page, I would do the things all relevant to the multimedia items only. Did that answer those questions? Okay. Great. And also for the as far as performance go, that has been offered along the entire development process. Instead of like writing everything and then when the site is ready to launch, we go back and do the performance tuning. It's as we go with the development, every single plugin we use, every single line code we write, we always try to make things more efficient, reduce the trip to the database, and try to get the information like cache. If it's cache, we use the cached version. So, and also we had a fantastic support from Automattic, which worked out for us really, really well. When we had a problem or we have a question, we want to know like this plugin was that plugin or this specific problem, how do you solve it? Instead of like doing hours research by ourselves or just try to pull your hair out, we basically file a ticket with Automattic, and typically within half an hour, 1 hour, they would come back with some suggestions, some answers, and then they follow up until this problem is solved. So,
have you published that plugin, the management plugin? Is that going to be released?
That actually is very specific for Harvard Gazette. For example, the dashboard.
You could make a generic version.
We could say yes down the road. At this point, it's resources, but in the meantime, if anyone like have similar needs or if you have questions, you're welcome to contact me offline, and I will answer your questions as much as I can.
What's your address?
It's at the end of the slide. We have on the site we have the video and the calendar. So video priority briefly touched upon. It's we use the third-party vendor Brightcove. It has lots of features and it's very easy to integrate and it's flexible. So on Gazette website, we have three dimensions of the video player for homepage, for sidebar, and also for the main multimedia page. So what we did is we created three players on the Brightcove side. We could customize with the border and the background color. It's all customizable. And on the Gazette side, we just basically plug in the corresponding player ID and the video ID. The video is pulled in. It has worked very reliably. Tromba, it's what we used for this calendar. It's a solution we used for calendar. It's a tough problem to solve, but Tromba, it's not the perfect solution, but it worked for us. All the calendar information, it's stored in the Tromba database on Tromba server. And the code is pulled in, again, using JavaScript. We have on the homepage, we have different like a small widget on the site to pull in, say, the events for today. We can have set different criteria. We can pull in for by date, or we can pull in the event by category. And on the main calendar page, we could load the entire calendar. On the side, we have the called control spot, so we can navigate back and forth by date, or we can choose to see only the events for a certain for one or more categories. So next, I'll talk about some challenges that we encountered and how we have addressed them. The first one is content archives. So Harvard Gazette, it's a nearly 100-year-old newspaper, and it has been online since 1996. So 14 years worth of archive stories exist online in pure HTML format without a common. There are some common code, but very limited. And there's no categorization, there's no tag, and the images are totally non-standard. Some images are sized right in the browser. So original is large and the size right in the browser. And we only have 3 months for the entire project, from planning to design, development, and the launch. So what we have decided to do is we pick the most recent 2 years worth of data, the story, and we input into the WordPress as a seed content for launch. As soon as we have WordPress installed, and we did we handed this over to the content team, so they start input content as we're moving along with the design development. So it's two lines of work going in parallel. And before the site launch, we also, after the design's finalized, So the content team will start working on, we need to make sure we have some new categories with the images of the correct dimensions for the homepage rotator and for the content for the section landing page. Also, we provided a print gazette in PDF format back to June of 2008. So that's as much as effort we could do for the newer content. And for the older ones, we used iframe to pull in the older content as is. So the nice thing is the new design is much wider. So within the iframe, the older version actually fit quite nicely. The other challenge we had is with the server and middleware. When we first developed the site, because we have Filament Group, we have NewCircle, so we have chosen to use a commercial hosting for the development effort. However, the testing environment is totally behind a VPN. It's not easy to set up a VPN account for everybody who needs access to the site. So as the majority of the development work is done, so we start moving the site to Hover server. That point is we found the Apache is not up to date. MySQL is not up to date. PHP is not up to date. So it's basically every single, the entire deck needs to be upgraded. WordPress itself, the core actually behaved quite nicely, but it's the plugins and the custom code we wrote, it's just break at the weirdest places. You would get a totally blank screen without knowing what's going on. It all actually eventually turned out to be actually part of the PHP version or the MySQL thing. So the lesson really learned here is to plan early, and especially because it's not rare for large organizations when they host it like internally, their server might not be as well maintained as those commercial hosting. So you just take all those into account and test early, so make sure you have enough time to address those problems if they do come up. So this challenge is a very common one for all the site redesign. It's the existing articles that has been on the web for years and years. So Google has indexed them, people have bookmarked them, and there are gazillion inbound links pointing to those stories. So our solution here is not not the perfect solution, but we just try to solve the 90% of the problem with 10% of the effort here. So the older stories, those ones has been brought in through iframe. We are also allowing direct access to those stories. So people who are doing Google search or who have bookmarks, they can see those stories as they have been seeing those pages as always. And for the newer stories, those ones have been ported into WordPress. We have set up wildcard redirect in the .htaccess file to send them to the new Gazette homepage. So here it's not a perfect solution because people are not really sending to that specific story. But with the new site, we have a better navigation. We have ways for people to search. We have the tags for people to browse to the different sections. So far, the audience has been has no problem finding what they were looking for. But for the main pages, the key pages, we did set up one-to-one redirect in the .htaccess file. Like the calendar, multimedia, we make sure we send them to the correct section.
Question.
Yes?
Did you change the URL? Why are you doing a redirect?
Yes, with WordPress, those for example, there was say an earlier Gazette story, in April of 2009. Before the story was in HTML format, it would be news.hover.gazette/2009/04/something.html. But when they're put into the WordPress, we have turned on the permalink, but still they have different URLs, so we need to do that. Yeah. So next, I'll turn this over to Perry, and she's going to share with us the lessons we have learned and also some performance data.
So we were thrilled with the outcome of the project. There are definitely still things we want to, continue to improve, but, taking it from where it was in HTML, which was, I think, 100% non-compliant to about 80% compliant, was a good step forward. you know, we had people really rooting for us who were saying, like, yep, you know, associate professors are going to go nuts when that permalink for their, you know, pre-tenure interview isn't still in the same place, but we're going to back you. We have great project management, particularly from Lynn's team, great partnership with vendors, good communications, and I have to say, an unbelievable print editorial team. These are people who, when I walked in to start my new job on May 1st, said, I don't know about this internet thing, but it totally seems like it's going to stick around, so we should figure it out. And they were like the most open-minded, smart, quick to adopt new technologies. So now they're like, have you been looking for the latest plugins? Like, they're all on me. So, you know, I've been dead impressed by the existing team. You know, what could we have done better? We could have scoped requirements a little more tightly, particularly around calendar, because you never get everything right. You know, define workflow early and make sure it's transparent to all participants. In the summer in universities, a lot of people take a lot of vacation, so people be like, oh yeah, I'll be working from here, and then I find out these people were archiving these at the same time that those people were, so maybe we should have had a more visible, maybe a project blog, maybe a WordPress blog to track that. To estimate the number of resources you need and, you know, then double that number, because, you know, you never, there's always something unforeseen you didn't think of. And I would really start the project with a style guide in hand. That was a mistake I think I made of, you know, what, you know, what are the ways we're going to handle. So, for example, this pains me greatly when I go back to pages like, pull them out, this, and you see, like, the really unequal lengths of all the, you know, I'd love to sort of have standards for how long, not, you know, to the letter, but, you know, roughly how long do you want each description going to be? How long do you want this to be? Just so people would have a cleaner, you know, experience on the site, but I think we're getting there. You know, plan for documentation. We got to this at the end. We didn't do as thorough a job as I would have liked, but, you know, really build that into the project plan more explicitly. And, you know, shoot for the stars, but keep, you know, MVP, minimal viable product, in mind. You know, what do we really need to meet the goals of the Harvard Gazette redesign? You know, you want to have everything. I want to have more that was automated. I want to have more that was, you know, in the multimedia. But what do you really need that's going to win hearts and minds that'll give you resources for the next project or to maintain this one? How are we doing? You know, a ton of content, ton of visits so far. Not a lot of performance issues. You know, traffic monthly, 100K page views. We're using Chartbeat. I don't know if you guys use that to gauge performance. It's really fun, and it's only $9.95 a month. So, you know, it's interesting to see sort of who's on your site, what they're reading, page load time, recent tweets. You know, I'm looking to find a way to more meaningfully incorporate it into Google Analytics, but for now I think it's an interesting thing. You know, it's an interesting sort of pulse or snapshot of what's going on online. With most pages served under 2 seconds, which considering we're pulling in, you know, a few fair things, you know, I'm really, really happy with performance. You know, results for the university are that the biweekly print vehicle now feels like a daily online paper of record. You know, daily being 5 day, not 7 day, but, you know, we're getting there. Non-technical publishing makes the editors happy, and it, you know, has the developers working on features rather than flat files, which, you know, is really big. You know, it's hard to keep staff motivated and say, oh, and then paste this in again. You know, it translates into larger audiences and happier internal constituencies, which is really important. You know, people feel like their research or their scholarship is being featured in a way that's meaningful. Before, we had to be so, you know, Simon Legree about who we featured. Well, we can only get 4 stories up this week, so your curing of cancer is going to fall prey to the football team. You know, there's really hard to balance those needs. So there's so many more pages and section pages. You can say, look, art history's on the main page. You know, so... and basic SEO, I'm not saying we brought in some huge firm and did all this work, but just having it in a great, clean WordPress version means that when we post a story about, you know, the president at the food bank, or when we post a story, you know, about, you know, a Nobel Prize winner, ours is often the most picked up. It's interesting, the lead photographer in our team had a lot more photos picked up on this year's Nobel Prize in the past, in part because his came up so quickly, that the article, people saw his first in a lot of ways. His was published first before, but it didn't show pop up on the Google Alerts or Google News quite so quickly, get indexed. So, you know, we got a lot of alumni, you know, expectations and people saying, hey, you know, you're the leader in other areas. How come you can't get digital right at all? So it was a good proof point for that. And, you know, we're nominated for finalists in the, you know, it's Massachusetts, you know, Interactive Awards, but being... helping a team feel like they're part of that and they're on the cutting edge and not sort of ghettoized in a university setting has been really helpful for keeping staff motivated and delivering high-quality projects like this. Most of all, you know, we're really trying to get a digital communication strategy for the university and align along these, you know, the whole idea of having a net presence, not a website. So how you appear in somebody's RSS reader is as important as how your homepage looks. You know, having user-centered design and content, you know, and validating hypotheses with data. That doesn't mean, you know, Harvard's going to do all its web presences now based on what Google Analytics tells us, but it does mean that we're going to form hypotheses like, should we have localized versions for China, or, you know, should we be concentrating more on SEO based on what we're learning from our analytics? And really, you know, someone said earlier today, I think it was in another education section, you have to lower the cost of failure. And I think that's really important in a large organization, especially in an organization where, you know, the brand, you know, how many times if you go to Harvard, do you hear, like, trip over a curb, people go, nice job, good job you went to Harvard, you know? So it's really hard to fail in an environment in which it's too easy to poke fun. But really say, you know, we need to do projects quickly, like this 3-month project, you know, launch, learn, refine, and relaunch. Did we get everything right? No. But are we going to continue to iterate until we do? Absolutely. Any questions or? Yeah, go ahead.
Are you doing any internal workflow, like a writer who posts something but it doesn't get it, or are you just letting people deal with that as opposed to making the system do a formalized workflow?
We looked at having the system do a formalized workflow, but the reality is with the level of research we're covering, there's a very complicated clearance, you know, thing that really needed to live in Microsoft Word and email, as much as it pains me to admit that. The reality is that, you know, these stories need to go through 8 or 10 sets of eyes, and, you know, Harvard's a large decentralized organization, so it's not like, oh, we'll just put it on our share drive. You know, if it's the medical school, they're a Wintel environment, you know, literally miles away. So it lives in Word until one of the Gazette editor puts it in. Yeah?
What's next?
Oh. Continuing to fix the things we need to fix here, for sure. But really looking at, you know, the overall digital strategy and saying, you know, how are we thinking about Harvard.edu as less brand-led and more user-led? And looking at, you know, the different ways that capitalizing on the many smart initiatives throughout the university, whether it's the guy at business school studying social networks and trying to incorporate that way back into our brand presence. But it's going to be, I hope what's next is a lot fewer websites. Now we have lots of front doors. Yeah?
Sorry. Are you allowing any comments or user interaction?
Not yet. No. It's on the list. The Ed School does, and they've had no problem at all. So I'm pushing that as a proof point. Yeah?
Lynn, how many man hours or person hours would you say you guys have to vote?
We have, I say, 1.5 for 2.5 months. 1.5 person.
1.5 people for...
For two months, because in parallel we have a number of projects going on.
Like a 40-hour week.
Yeah, let's count 40 hours. So that's how we got paid. So
60 hours a week for 2.5 months.
Yes, I think it's fair to say that.
It was more hours.
Actually, it was only 10.
Exactly. Yeah, for her, it probably was 10. Yeah?
Spoke of some common objections at the beginning, but could you give us tips and advice about how you overrode these objections in your organization?
I think part was great executive sponsorship, you know, really saying, and part was being really far behind. You know, there were so many issues with the current site that people said, you know, well, how bad could it go? But I think, but also, you know, clear communication about what we were doing and why we were doing it, you know, was really important. So, you know, why did, you know, one of the pressures I got was, why start with the Gazette and not Harvard.edu? That was a really common question. And I pointed to the analytics and said, you know, how many people view content about Harvard versus come to the Harvard homepage and look at where those audiences are coming from? And don't we want to get the true positive stories about Harvard that go on every day to be more accessible to millions rather than pretty up our front door? We would have done more than that, but, you know, that was hard for me to argue. Yeah? It's definitely not in the future for, you know, our publications. We would never envision charging for that. Whether WordPress does have, could you see a way that you could store, you know, content behind WordPress and pay for part of it?
Not off my head.
Yeah. That's something to think about. Yeah, for us, it's, yeah, sorry. Sorry, I don't know off that my head either.
What was the process for migrating the flat files into the system? Was that manual or did you?
Sweat equity. Yeah.
Do you plan to bring the rest of the archive into the system, or?
I don't know. We still have, there's still, you know, probably 3 months of files in, you know, in purgatory, we call it, you know, where it hasn't quite been ported into the new. It lives in WordPress, but it hasn't been published yet because it didn't get the double check yet. So the first priority is to get to those. And then I could see going back year by year, maybe with interns over the summer, you know, definitely getting to that. But I don't know how bad it is to have stuff, you know, as long as it's in the iframe and Google. To me, like, don't break Google was my canon, you know, thing. Like, if I break Google, I'm really in trouble. But if stuff looks like the old Harvard Gazette, it's kind of kitschy. Yep.
Which, quoting a site just like this, it's a very similar for online newsletter for an education organization. So thank you so much for the presentation. Are you guys doing anything, are any of the articles issue-based, or is it just kind of an ongoing stream of stories?
One of the things we did was when we switched, you know, basically before it was a weekly print publication. I wish I brought out examples of it. It was, you know, a lot plainer. It didn't look very different than it did in 1925 and 2008. The quality was unbelievable of the content and the stories. But it was very much based on what was going on around campus and news at Harvard. But one of the things being an online daily and a print biweekly let us do was have the print version be much more issue-based. So online is more up-to-the-minute daily paper record, and print is more, we'll do one on stem cells or one on public service. Not all the stories will be about that, but it'll be a big thematic main page about that.
Right, so the articles aren't specifically tied to an issue. They just go up as they're ready, as they're relevant?
They generally go up as they're ready and relevant. There's some things we're asked to hold, like the big cover story for the print. We usually hold until the morning the print goes out because there is some concern about cannibalizing. And we do have a professoriate that still loves to touch and feel. You know, I'm married to one of them, you know, so we want to make sure to keep that audience happy, too, before it goes online.
Yeah, I mean, is there any way on your site, is there an issue that you can say, oh, I want to look at this issue online?
We put the PDFs up.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only way. We don't sort. There's people have emailed me about digital versions. There are companies that do this, like DigiVersion, and, you know, there are two or three people. But we haven't seen the hunger for it in the kind of people, the hunger the people, you know, we encounter are for make them searchable, make them go into our RSS readers.
Right.
That's sort of the coming generation, less issue-based. Yep, sorry.
I have a question. Would that be something solved simply by
I am doing issues right now, if you want to talk.
No, I'm just wondering, like, even if you just have, like, each story as, like, issue, whatever, volume, blah, blah,
blah.
I mean, is that something that's, you know, that just easily solve that problem?
Technically,
would work, right?
Technically, yes. So it's more like a business, like, a needs and a business decision. Like, so now we have a print archive page where people can download the PDF, and we currently do not have a way for people to browse by issue, per se.
Thank you.
Speaking of search engine optimization, transcripts would also increase search indexing.
Yeah, that's a great point. Having transcripts of all the, you know, in the multimedia copy would increase that. And I know anytime the president gives an address, there's absolutely a transcript made available, but it's not true of all the multimedia.
Yeah, given how high profile our students, professors, and students are, I'm curious how much you're bringing in external coverage into the Harvard Gazette. What was it about
that? I'm sorry, I didn't come in.
I guess the main his question was, you know, given how many stories are published on any given day about Harvard, and there's actually some really interesting data about this we've been looking at, you know, how much of the external world are we bringing in? I'd like to be bringing in more is the answer, but for now these are all sort of external articles. It's a little bit of a kludge where they're actually manually put in as, you know, our stories, and then just link off, you know, give a quick excerpt and then link off. But I definitely would like to do more of this. I know the Harvard alumni site is actually just pulling in a Yahoo pipe anytime Harvard is mentioned, which, you know, has its pluses and has its minuses. So, you know, sometimes, I mean, not that they're filtering more for the negative, but sometimes you'll just get nonsense that's not, you know, as Harvard-related. Or, you know, our favorite story about this is there was a professor who taught at Harvard for many years, and he and his partner collected art, and then he left 10 years ago and moved to California. And they built up an unbelievable art collection, and then, you know, sadly they were robbed a couple of months ago. And the headline read, "Art Theft Has Harvard Tie." So it's not even really a Harvard story, right? But it's gonna, you know, it's gonna sell papers, and so it ends up in the headlines. So sometimes the point being, you end up with stuff that is that really a Harvard story? Not really. He left 10 years ago. Yeah.
A solution to that is
recommend reading or something. There's a plugin that reaches it earlier. You tag it in your Google Reader and it automatically shows up on there. So somebody could proof it. It's not, you know.
Oh, that's neat.
That, you won't have that problem.
Serve it up. Yeah, the problem is usually volume. You know, if you put in Harvard or even the president's name, you'll get so much volume. How do you filter meaningfully in a way that's president?
I'm curious what traffic looks like on campus versus, it's not Harvard at all.
We do filter for that, actually. And Harvard is, you know, steadily... I can get you the relative numbers later, but, you know, as we had hoped, the internal Harvard is, you know, becoming less of the overall readership as we go over time, which was absolutely the goal. The goal was first to serve our internal constituencies, but also to make the stories more spreadable. So it's, yeah, we filter for that, and the Harvard's going down or leveling off slightly.
Do you do anything special for search engine optimization?
I think we did anything particularly.
We did only the basic ones. We make sure the meta tags in place. We make sure the images have alt text. We didn't do anything like crazy beyond that.
Did you do the meta tags within WordPress?
General ones. We didn't even have the the popular all-in-one SEO. We didn't have that.
Great. We're going to wrap this up so we don't stand between you and the cocktails, but thank you so much, everyone. And any questions, we're happy to answer.